Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
17 offensive rebounds for the Dallas Mavericks. Irving dancing, prancing, pulls up, three-pointer, bang! And a foul!
Oh, Mavs moving on. It is fist pump time in the 9 o'clock hour. We still don't have an update on Sean's baby, do we?
No.
No photo. No. Hope everything's okay.
By the way, Peyton again just slacking with Sean out by coming back with the Mavs highlight.
That's what RJ said.
No.
This is Sean and RJ.
No, this
not
is
Sean and Bobby.
This is supposed
wow.
to this is supposed to be a that was supposed to be a Caitlin Clark highlight. for the game that Reggie attended
the great
on Friday night.
You know damn well I Reginald. Did not go to the Wings
you
game.
Did, you didn't. Shout out to one of our great Tolos, Lori Brown. Lori Brown had said, "Hey, I got some Caitlin Clark tickets tonight if you'd like to go." And I said, "I'm not going to be able to. Let me hit up Reggie." And she's like, "Yeah, ask him if he wants to go." Asked Reggie, and Reggie, the fake ally, the fake WNBA
wow.
ally, the true misogynist here at this station, said, "Nah, fam, I got to see these dudes play. They do it better."
Wow.
You think you're going to draw me off sides with that?
Of
all
that.
The people at this station that you think you could draw off sides, I am not the one,
I was
Bobby.
Hoping. I've been laying it on thick for like 2 days, though. You've been expecting that bit.
That's
so,
right.
So that's the only
That's
problem.
On you. You didn't set it
yeah,
up.
Yeah, that was poor setup for me. Damn it. That's what I lost. Thanks for joining us, Reg. Thanks for coming in.
And, oh, man. I had to be here anyway, so.
Yeah, but you didn't have to be here at 9 to talk on the air.
That's fair.
You didn't have to do that. So.
Yeah, but if you had tried to book me for like 8:20, it wouldn't have happened.
No, I know. And that's why I also knew like 8:40 is below the belt. We're not blowing that out, obviously.
No.
Not
no.
Sean,
right.
Sean blew it out enough while I was not, like, last week.
Right.
And so with him here, that segment's getting done. Mavericks ultimately overcome the Clippers. There was no doubt. To me, anyway, it felt like Kawhi could have played in this series. I think Dallas was still the better team at this point.
I think that we get to a little sketchy place there because what are we talking about if Kawhi played? Are we talking about the Kawhi that we saw?
The Kawhi that we saw. I'm not talking about 100% healthy Kawhi. I'm saying like whether he just would have gutted it out or not. I think that they're not winning.
No, absolutely.
Like real Kawhi, the different story. Absolutely.
Exactly. And you're right. This was game six and probably earlier, but game six was and made it abundantly clear. The Mavs were a better team than that Clippers team that we saw. And in various different ways, especially when you look at the age difference, like this is one of the oldest teams the Clippers are in the league right now, if not the oldest. And I think the five oldest teams in the playoffs all unceremoniously bounced. And so I think that we're seeing some level of change in the guard. But this is a young Dallas team that physically is better than that team, that obviously like offensively outside of just like the three-point shooting is better than that team. The Mavericks showed up, and they did not even have to, like, break in case of emergency the supernova that is Luka Doncic. He gave you, at most, like, average Luka play, which, of course, is something different than most players in the league. But you didn't get the highest forms of Luka Doncic, and it was not necessary to win this in six.
Yeah, I mean, if I would have told you at the beginning of the series, you're going to get average to, at times, below average Luka.
Absolutely.
If I would have told you you're going to get that and yet still win a pretty – I think pretty convincing six games because, I mean, the Clippers won game four and no disrespect to that. But, I mean, if you're going to shoot the lights out 70% on 33-point attempts, that's going to be tough. But that feels like that's going to come back down to earth a little bit. So, I mean, outside of that game, it felt like in the five others, like it was Dallas pretty handily in four out of five of them. That you got beat down in game one, But, I mean, it felt like there was just a little bit of hot shooting, unsustainably hot shooting in game four. But if I would have told you it's a convincing six-game series win with Luka playing average to below average at times, I think we all take that.
Take it.
And absolutely. Say that's a big victory.
Right, and I think also that's this series is probably like one of the biggest ones where you applaud Nico Harrison. This is a huge shift in this team. They didn't shoot the three particularly well in most of these games. You got an incredible performance, one of those like role player standouts from Maxi Kleber in game five. And like there's other instances of, you know, some standouts, but you didn't shoot the ball particularly well. They have fully shifted that identity to defense, and you could see the ways that they frustrated a Clippers team. The Clippers did not score well at the basket. And that's one of the things that you typically need in order to play. I mean, they shot the worst in these playoffs at the rim. The Clippers did, and that's a testament to just how good this Mavericks team has become with the size and the strength that they employ.
All right, Oklahoma City. Matchup perspective, A, and then B, like, historically, we don't see teams like this make the playoffs for the first time out of nowhere and go beyond really the first round, let alone make it to the conference finals, right?
No, you're absolutely right. Matchup perspective, the size, as I was talking about with the Mavericks, this is where you really get to shine with size. This is a relatively small Oklahoma City Thunder team. And even though they have the height in Chet Holmgren, that's tall man, not big man. Like the
Slender waist, man.
You're that's not going Slender to. Man. That's right. That's right. Shout out to the Minecraft folks out there, what have you. You're not going to have an Ivica Zubac game one type performance where somebody is going through anybody's chest. Like, this is going to show off very much the size and strength, the physicality that your Mavericks have moved towards. But no, I think just like the overall arc of a developing team, you're right.
We stop. There's a it's big boy time, right? It's grown man time.
Absolutely. And I'm interested in Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is a very good player that I'm not sure people have given enough credit because of like the MVP conversation and the ways in which various narratives come together, and then we all have to, like, if you're trying to put up your guy, you have to knock down other guys at times. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is an incredible player. I don't know that he's, like, his particular strengths are going to overlap well with what these Mavericks are doing. Like I said, getting downhill is going to be tough for any player on these Mavericks. That's one of the things that he does pretty well. He likes to work in the mid-range, but I think the Mavs are going to be able to sit in that place because this is not a very good shooting team, at least from the three-point shot from Oklahoma City Thunder. So, like, they're not going to have to concern themselves that much out there. I think that they can compact their defense in. And I'm interested to see if the young guys in Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and then honestly, more importantly, these other players, right? Jalen Williams, I don't know that he's going to be able to get off what he typically does. In that game, the first one that Gafford and P.J. Washington played in after the trade deadline, where they lit up the AAC, that place was jumping, Jalen Williams tried to drive a lot, and you could tell he didn't have a lot of combos. This is where we start talking about the youth and the way that you develop over time. He has that one place that he wants to get to, and very quickly the Mavs realize, oh, we could just set up a post at the end point, funnel him there, and he's done. And I'm real interested to see what they do against this Thunder team. It's a good Thunder team, but I think that this overlays nicely with your Mavs.
Chop kind of referenced it there a little bit, and I know this has generally been a line of thinking in the NBA for 40 years, roughly, it feels like. The idea of teams have to learn to lose before they can learn to win. Like, in terms of, you look at historically throughout the years, Isaiah struggled, overcame. Michael struggled, overcame. Right. Like, it's a continuous process. Like, I mean, even the Rockets had a little bit of that. The Mavericks lost for 10 years in big moments before they learned. And there was a little bit of that the last time the Mavericks and the Thunder met in the West Finals, back the year that the Mavericks won the title, where it was like, Oklahoma City at that time was a more talented basketball team. They were a young, dumb basketball team. They took awful shots. I remember the game three or four, the one where the Mavericks trailed by 15 with like 5 minutes left and they came back and won. Like, Harden fouls out on a foul 80 feet from the basket. Westbrook takes dumb threes early in the shot clock. It's just, you got to almost like learn through those experiences. Do you think that applies to Oklahoma City? Because I think while they are a young team, they don't strike me as the same youthful ignorance that is applied to other young basketball teams. I watch them, I think they're pretty smart, well disciplined young basketball team.
No, absolutely. And this is why I try to move away from the idea of like smart versus dumb when it comes to that.
Yeah.
The experience of this is different. They're definitely a smart young team. Mark Daigneault wins coach of the year. He's a very good coach. However, I liken it to, and it's easy to always come back to, like 2015 on Golden State Warriors in that run of that dynastic run that they had. One thing that you can point to was the institutional knowledge that they built up, where if somebody threw something at them, because they had gone through so much, they've played so much basketball together as well, there was a slower load time on figuring out what the solution was because, oh, we've seen that before, and what we did to answer that back then was this, boom, we can apply it. I think that those are the things that then, you know, for older teams or more experienced teams in the playoffs, you can go back to, we've seen this, we've applied this, we've known how to answer that question that you're going to ask us in the playoffs, and we can apply that. And as you know, the longer that you take to try and figure those things out, the more, you know, the more games that you'll lose or whatever, the quicker that you can make that, the, you know, the better that it goes. And I think that that might be the distinction where you'll see the veteran status of Kyrie Irving, those types of things. And then, of course, like Jason Kidd, the way that he's gone through the league, both as a player and a coach, I think that will help this Mavs team over that Thunder team. And I think that's going to be the thing that they develop over years, the Thunder will, that will make them a really good contender over time.
Almost 2 hours ago, Jason Kidd got his extension. Mm-hmm. Were you surprised that happened?
Not at all. Not at all. I mean, this is the obvious part where we talk about the star management, the personality management that happens in the NBA that's almost bigger than some of the on-court things. Luka Doncic, Kyrie Irving are unique stars, and they uniquely love that guy.
Yeah.
That matters a good amount. In addition to that, like, hey, man, look at the results that he has had when he has made the playoffs. Like, he has been able to do some significant things, including making teams that we looked at those rosters and we go, those are not defensive teams, and making them substantial defensively. Like, we cannot write those things off. Do I think that he's one of the five best coaches in the league? I do not. But we've seen him do enough, at least early on, in, you know, managing the personalities, managing the way that this team plays, getting them, like, establishing a play style amongst them and a system that works for them. And I think that that's sufficient enough, especially when you consider the way that the stability that he provides with your stars and with the rest of those guys. And there's not a single dude in that locker room that's quit on him ever.
Somebody told me not long after I got off the air from day three of NFL draft coverage, Reggie, somebody was saying, hey, sometimes vibes are more important than being right. And so would you say that's...
2 Chainz says.
Is that the Jason Kidd thought process that, hey, he's a curator of vibes, and that's what's important. He keeps Kyrie stable. He keeps Luka stable. That's been a problem at times. That's more important than necessarily needing the X's and O's genius. Like, is that kind of what you're getting at? The idea that keeping personality management... People would say that about Phil Jackson a lot. Phil Jackson's personality management was almost as important as what he was with his triangle offense or whatever else.
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely a part of it, but I don't want to fully discredit the X's and O's. Like,
sure.
I think that we get to that place where it becomes all or nothing, and it's somewhere in between.
Maybe
for
with
him
these
on X's
personalities, though, it
yes.
might be important to have that as a big emphasis.
Absolutely.
Because it clearly was a problem with Carlisle at times with
100%.
Luka.
And I mean, one of the things that also consider is, what have we been talking about the stakes with these Mavericks in trying to win? The stakes were, you don't want Luka Doncic to go anywhere.
Yeah.
Part of that is having a coach that fits his style and that makes him comfortable. And you can see the way that he's comfortable. Then also that he's had some drive that's been driven by Jason Kidd. And I don't the word isn't mind games, but it's the only word that comes to mind. But like, kind of the mind games and the psychology that he's employed to get these guys to the place, like, it's worked for them.
All right, well, let's go ahead.
Just one more quick one here, because we were talking about this, Chop and I, earlier. Do you think, obviously said you weren't surprised that he got the extension, but do you think that, like, his extension or his future here was dependent on what happened in this series with the Clippers? Because that would have been, like, I mean, obviously that would have been a third time the Mavericks fall short to the Clippers. And, you know, Kidd being here for everything else, for it to end in that kind of a disappointment without Kawhi Leonard, would that have been a thing where it's like, hey, you're being judged on, you're either out or you're here for the next few years if we get past this point?
I want to say no, but it's hard to deny the idea that he had not gotten that extension. He had just one more year on his contract. And then the timing of this happening right after that series, it's hard to deny that and make it seem like that's not a part of it. So I would have to say yes with that level of logic. But the other things that we've talked about, the ways in which this team reacts to him and those things, it feels like that was going to be the case regardless. However, again, the timing would point me to, I think you're right. Like, there is some level of getting it done against the Clippers mattered.
Yeah, this city doesn't generally fire coaches who are massive disappointments in a first-round playoff.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
I know that.
Okay.
Even when they absolutely deserve
right.
it.
Dealer's choice here. We only have time for one. Is Denver in trouble or Caitlin Clark?
Well, because Bobby wants me to be an ally, let's talk Caitlin Clark.
Tell us about Caitlin Clark. You said you were following along on Friday night, right?
Yes, I was.
Were you watching or were you following Twitter updates?
See, now, I am a notoriously hard-headed man. And the Bally app, like, I have direct TV streams, so I can usually watch games.
That's what I have. High five.
But because this game, like, you had so many sports on that Friday night. You had Mavs. You had Stars. You had Rangers. They relegated that game to Bally Sports app only. So you had to sign up for the login to get into Bally Sports. And I was not signing up for that.
An ally.
Right.
It's okay.
Right.
You see this, Peyton? You see what a real world misogynist this man is?
Shut up, Bobby.
That's right. Thank you. I appreciate that, Peyton. Stand up. Caitlin Clark, I was fascinated in seeing some of the clips and then obviously the box score. She's going to get to her shot. And like unless you are willing to dedicate your attention to her and open up whatever else around her, like the uptick on her in the WNBA, like it's not going to take that long, right? We thought that there was going to be a level of steepness to the curve that has been smoothed out very quickly. Now, I'm not saying that she won't have bumps, but the way that she can get to her shot, it's going to translate. It's very evident that that's going to translate. Now, the Wings don't have all of the defensive personnel to handle her necessarily, but I can only imagine what it's going to take to guard her 94 feet all the time in order to slow her down. She's going to be able to get to her pull up. So I think that she's going to have a fascinating rookie year.
Thank you, man. Thanks for coming in.
Hey, man. Always a pleasure.
Reggie Attitullo joining us here on 105 Through the Fan.
Got
now,
that, Reggie.
The foremost expert on rap music at the radio station.
What?
On rap battles is the redheaded Carter Freeman. And
I just wanted to say that, the irony.
He will join us next. I am fascinated with this beef that we have going on. That's all coming up next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sometimes you gotta pop out and show certified boogeyman. I'm the one that
I love irony. I love dealing in irony. It's Sean and RJ here at 105 as a fan. Sean is out. It is baby day. He is having his baby girl sometime today.
Amanda is,
and she had it, I assume, already. But who knows? But Sean was in his scrubs, finally making dad happy and proud. But I love dealing in irony. And I have heard a lot about the rap beef. And the battle, the diss tracks from Kendrick Lamar and the responses from Drake.
Yeah, like when he did Hit Him Up and then it's Drake did the Bridges Over. And then, what was it? Then like Kendrick came back with Ether.
I think you're trolling a little bit there.
Just a bit.
But
the Bridges
so,
Over.
So, like, I've always thought, like, girls have their, women have, like, they have their the stuff that they love to do and... You could stereotype and say, those are Bravo and everything.
Be careful.
Men have two things. We have sports and we have rap battles. That's what we have.
We love beef.
And I thought nobody screams hip hop expert.
Certainly nobody that's been in the building in the last 30 right. minutes.
More than our redheaded white dude, Carter Freeman.
The whitest dude in the building. I will own that title.
I was like, man, this is going to fall flat on its face, or it's going to be genius, and I'm willing to take the chance for this guy just to nerd out.
You had to do this on a day we had a meeting.
I know, I really did. So, Carter, you are the, like, Future comes out with a new album. He's like, man, I listened to this thing. I told my girlfriend, I'm going into the lab, and I'm listening to this thing for 2 hours and just break it down. And I'm like, okay, this is the guy. This is the guy I want to bring in here and talk about this, so. Help me understand why and what happened.
So this goes back a decade. This started in like 2013. Kendrick had a verse on a Big Sean song called Control, where he took shots at Drake. He took shots at other rappers. Just basically like, hey, I want to be the best. Like, I'm going to kill y'all. Like, I'm trying to be above all y'all. So that this is the seeds were planted a long time ago. Fast forward to now. Last year, Drake had a song with J. Cole, where J. Cole has a verse where he says, it's me, Kendrick, and Drake. We're the big three, like the best rappers of this current time. And
was this first-person shooter?
This was first-person shooter on Drake's album last year. And I take issue with J. Cole saying that because I don't agree with that, but that's neither here nor there. In March...
So he said that they're the big three?
Yes, J. Cole, Kendrick, and Drake. J. Cole said they're the big
three. Okay.
In March, on a Future and Metro Boomin album, Kendrick has a verse on there where he says, it's not a big three, it's a big me. So he's, you know, disagreeing.
Ooh, rhymes.
Yes. That's what singers and rappers do.
I like very good rhymes. Yeah. It's very nice.
That's probably why they released it, because it sounded
good. Yeah, okay.
So that kind of restarted this simmering beef. J. Cole releases his own diss track towards Kendrick.
What was that?
It was, oh my gosh. See, here's the thing. J. Cole was so embarrassed by it, he took it off of streaming services.
It was that bad?
Yes. It was, in my opinion, yes, it was that bad. But J. Cole was so ashamed of himself at a festival. He's saying, yeah, guys, like, my heart wasn't in it. Like, I shouldn't have done it. And he just removes it. So he tries to enter this beef that he kind of started, and then he just pulls back.
Yeah, J. Cole is very, that's not his role. Like, J. Cole's not going to get in the middle of it. Like, I mean, he did. But, like, J. Cole's a better fit as, like, Dennis Smith's spiritual advisor or whatever it was he did when he was around here. Like, that's J. Cole's lane. J. Cole's lane is, like, I got a crooked smile, but I keep the grill just to show the kids it's real. Like, that's he's the inspiration, you know? There was some tweet the other day that was, like, you know, only one guy is above it all. They're, like, listed all these great attributes of J. Cole. They're, like, just good, boring-ass music.
Yeah, it's music. Right. You can say that about it.
Okay, so...
I like J. Cole. J. Cole gets too much hate.
All right, so Kendrick... So J. Cole removes that.
He removes himself.
He kind of backs out everything.
Literally yes. After, like, 24 hours.
All right, now, next. What happens next?
So a couple weeks later, that's kind of at the beginning of April when J. Cole releases his mixtape.
So we're talking about a month ago.
About a month ago is when this really started to heat up. Around April 18th, 19th, Drake releases not one... but two diss tracks. So the first one's called Push Ups. Yes, he did. he releases Push Ups, telling Kendrick, drop a gimme 50, you know, full diss track towards Kendrick. Then he goes a step further, releases Tailor Made Freestyle, where he not only, you know, raps himself to diss Kendrick, he uses AI, Tupac voice, and Snoop Dogg voice.
Okay, I remember this.
Yes.
Which was awful. It was so bad.
It was so bad. I think it's kind of clever. Drake has used, because Kendrick is a huge, Tupac fan. I just forgot his name. Huge Tupac fan on To Pimp a Butterfly. Like, he's just a huge influence on Kendrick. In Drake's music in the past, he's used Michael Jackson, like unreleased Michael Jackson tapes on his music. And Drake has compared himself to Michael Jackson with all the hits he's had on the Billboard. And Kendrick, in the Metro Boomin' and Future song that he was on, he compares himself to Prince, and he says Prince outlived Michael Jackson. So there's so many layers to this.
So that literally outlived him?
Yes. Yes. So Drake releases these two songs, and that AI song, that had to get taken off of streaming services because of the Tupac estate was like, hey, this isn't cool. Like, we're going to sue you.
And I mean, it's whack to like take Tupac's voice and put Drake's flow with it. It sounded really horrible. It was not good. I could have gone my entire life without ever hearing this. This is interesting, though, this whole thing, because there have been so many, like, big rappers that have taken subliminal disses at Drake for years. Big ones. Kanye West did it on, he did it on Otis, where he said, because he said, what was it, Drake on Dreams Money Can Buy, say, I ain't seen the car you claim to drive, or S, I seen it, you just ain't inside. And then Kanye comes up and says, they ain't seen me because I pulled up in my other Benz. Last week I was in my other Benz. That was a reference to Drake. You've got Jay-Z that's taking shots at Drake subliminally. Eminem did it on Forever. Eminem was taking subliminal shots at everybody on that song on Forever.
Does. Yeah, I don't ever get into like the inner meaning of like what happens. I just like the music. So like for me, like Drake just puts out hit after hit. Now whether they're great songs or not, whatever, they're catchy.
That's subjective. That's up to
right.
you to decide.
They're catchy, but right? I enjoy them, but I know people just don't like him.
But you're right. People have been taking shots at him for years. But Drake, in my mind, has been too big to fail because years ago he was in a beef with Pusha T, where Pusha T exposes that you are hiding a child you had with a porn star.
Adonis is your son.
And you know what ends up coming from that? His kid draws the album artwork to his last album. And he's bringing Adonis with him to the sideline of NBA games. Like, that is such a inflammatory, crazy thing you were trying to cover up. And he still came out and used it to his benefit, right?
Yep.
So I thought he was too big to fail. But now, with this Kendrick beef, so about 2 weeks after those two Drake songs dropped, last Tuesday, Kendrick releases his response, Euphoria, which is the name of a show that Drake produces.
But wait, isn't that also where he got Haley Joel Osment wrong? That's the same song, right?
That was a 6.5 minute song. There was so much in there. I do not remember if it was in that song.
Yeah, I think it was. I think it was in that song. Okay, so he released that. This was the response that was that just basically ended everything?
No, okay. not even close. So this is last Tuesday, and this is when it comes. This comes out at like 10:30 on a Tuesday morning, right? So Reggie and I are in the studio, you know, in between segments. We're listening to it together because this is, like I said, it's like a 6.5 minute song. And Kendrick just goes in. It's like, I hate the way you walk. I hate the way you talk. I hate the way you say certain things. Like, it is, and he repeats himself multiple times saying this. Like, you can just feel the venom dripping from Kendrick's words on this. Like, this, he means this. This is legit, like, disdain for Drake. And, like, not on a level of, like, oh, this is kind of like a shot on a song. Like, this is a full 6.5 minute track devoted to how much I hate you. So that was pretty intense when it came out. Drake waits until Friday to release his response, Family Matters, which is a 7.5 minute song.
God.
Where in the music video for it, he is crushing the car that is on the cover of Kendrick's Good Kid, Mad City, one of his album that really, like, got him popular. He's compacting it, destroying it. Oh, and there are other references to some of the things that Kendrick said to Drake in Euphoria that he's doing in the video. And in this song, at the tail end of it, Drake accuses Kendrick of domestic abuse, of hiring a crisis management team to hide the fact that he beat up his girlfriend. These are, you know, unverified claims, but that's pretty, like, awful stuff to accuse somebody of. So this, and I think, ultimately, this is a really, really entertaining, good song. This is as good as I've heard Drake personally in a long time because he's focused. Not even an hour after Family Matters comes out, the Drake diss, Kendrick releases another diss track.
Oh, so he had one ready.
Oh, he had one locked and loaded.
Yeah, it wasn't just, you know, whatever happened to predictability, the milkman, the paperboy, the evening TV. Like those, when he dropped those bars, I was like, damn.
It's good stuff. Damn. I like that.
Damn. With Kendrick album. With a period at the end.
Mm-hmm. So Meet the Grams comes out less than an hour after Drake's diss. This is 6 minutes of, or around 6 minutes of Kendrick addressing Drake's family, and he's calm for the, and this is why I love it so much. He is addressing Drake's family in just the most calm, like, I'm so sorry I have to tell you that your son's a horrible person, that I wish he wasn't born, that I wish he would die, that I wish he would rot in hell with Harvey Weinstein. These are all things he says in the song. He addresses his son, tells him, you know, I'm so sorry that he's your dad. He addresses Drake's mom, telling him, you raised an awful, you know, person. And then Kendrick accuses Drake of hiding another child.
Another child.
And after he hid the first one, I'm not giving Drake the benefit of the doubt that this isn't real. I'm 100% buying in on the fact that Drake has his image that he wants to keep, and he couldn't keep it this time, but he could keep it with whatever other escapades he was up to. So these are just more wild accusations in addition to Kendrick saying he's addicted to, you know, Percocet. He's paying for escorts in, you know, the Caribbean. Like, it's more crazy inflammatory stuff, along with all the just vitriolic hate that has fueled this entire thing. So this is all within an hour of each other on Friday night. I'm watching the Mavs game, like, you know, Mavs are kicking ass. I'm like, oh, Drake released a new diss. Halfway through listening to it, it's like, oh, Kendrick followed up to it already. Then Saturday night, Kendrick releases another diss track where he has my favorite line on it, certified lover boy, certified pedophile, because that is that is something Drake has been accused of for years, as having a thing for underage girls. And there's, like, just, I'm not going to get into the history of it here, but if you look that up, if you look into that, there's reason to believe it. So last night, Drake releases his response, which is called The Heart Part 6, which is, I think, is really clever. Oh my gosh, there was another Kendrick diss. I forgot. There was another one on Friday morning. See, this has just come, rapid fire. Because I was trying to listen to them all last night to just remember all of them. Kendrick releases one where it's titled 616 in Los Angeles, which is a riff on all of Drake's songs that are timestamped, like 8 a.m. in Charlotte, you know, 5 p.m. in Toronto or whatever. 616 is also Father's Day. So that's a you know, a jab at Drake being a bad father to the son he was trying to hide. And maybe this, you know, other daughter he might have too. So last night, Drake releases The Heart Part 6, which The Heart Part X, that's something Kendrick's been doing for years. And in this most recent one came out last night, Drake is saying, well, I actually just, I fed you fake information and you fell for it. So everything, like, you're saying, this isn't real.
Which seems like a bad out.
It's a little cheap. And I'm, like I said earlier, I'm not willing to give Drake the benefit of the doubt given the past and things he's tried to hide before.
Ultimately, what does Bobby Altoff think about all this? And who will she interview about it?
It's a good reference. Well, it's a really good reference.
Was it Drake in bed, right?
Yeah, it was in bed.
Yeah, Millie Bobby Altoff.
So she's got to interview Kendrick next, right?
Right. Yeah.
Like, I feel like that's the next logical step in this beef.
You like that?
Yeah, underneath a Prince painting.
Yes.
Yeah.
Carter Freeman, rap, hip hop aficionado, our expert here at The Fan. Thank you.
You're welcome. This is, I could go on about this forever. This is just
we have a clock. Can't do that.
This is as good as rap beef has been in a long time.
I'll leave it at that. Very nice. All right. It is KNC Masterpiece coming up next year on Sean and RJ 105 through The Fan.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
his crosstalk with the KNC masterpiece.
Southlake defending RJ.
I didn't know I was defending Southlake in the break, but whatever.
A lot of great listeners in Southlake.
There are.
There's that line of like, look, man, some houses very affordable in these areas. Mike's always taking shots at Plano, and he's always like, weird
because he lives in like a really expensive house.
And so I'm always like, you know what? I'm just going to eat it up. Yeah, the palatial estates of Plano. That's what's going on out there.
All right, KNC boys in. Where's Obasic's out all week, right? He's got all his, he's on the road. He's on Oakland.
Think he's having a baby, right? Is Obasic having a baby?
Yes, he is.
Oh, gotcha.
We still have not seen an update.
No, I did see he posted like 10 minutes ago.
I'm going to stop you right there.
I ran
into this problem when Noah was born. I got a passive-aggressive text from my mother-in-law. They came up to the hospital because I was like supposed to be giving them updates and everything. And I was, because sometimes, especially when you induce labor, you have nothing but time for updates.
Yeah.
And then there's a time when you have no time for anything. Yeah. So like 2.5 hours passed, and I look at my phone, and there's a text, hey, we're here. We were waiting for updates and just didn't get any, so we thought we'd come up. I was like, I was busy.
It's about a three-hour window after the or like right when around the baby's coming out. Yeah, and then from there, you're like, they got to clean the baby.
Oh, yeah.
And they got to go run all the tests. And then if you're certain religions or whatever, they got to snip the – if it's a boy.
What?
They get us.
Sometimes not even religious.
Yeah. Did you?
I think. Yeah, I mean, I was, and so I guess like Adrian was like, yeah, I mean, we're going to. So yeah. It just felt like
off with their heads.
Yeah. So bam.
I don't know if you totally understand that procedure.
Yeah, it's not the whole. Yeah. Anyway, so there's like a 3-hour window where I think that you kind of have a grace period.
Do you remember the Houston Super Bowl where I ran into the people who were the circumcision, they were against circumcisions.
Have y'all ever seen these guys?
Man.
They have, no. They wear all white.
I took some pictures.
They wear all white except for their crotch, where it's just, they
blood splatter.
They have blood splatter there. Huh. And they're like, you shouldn't do this.
So I went up to them when we were in Houston at the Super Bowl, because I was like, oh man, this bit's going to be amazing, because I thought they were doing a bit.
Uh-huh.
And then I heard them talk, and then they were giving like scientific evidence and talking about how this was assault of someone's body and all this. And I was like, oh, so this is like,
it's for real.
We're real deal, serious as all get out, not doing a bit. And it was right out in front of the baseball stadium, which I thought was really weird.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when both of my kids are circumcised. I took the...
Every one of
just
them.
Air out their business.
I took the I took the leftover after it fell off, put it on my eyelids. I was all cockeyed for a day.
Oh, I'm my proud gosh.
Of proud of you. Kevin, you got to admit.
It is 9:46 in the morning, for the love of goodness.
We were talking about earlier.
I mean, I get it. Like, I get it.
You remember how
so proud of
you remember how Tom Cruise allegedly went home and ate the placenta? That was one of the things that we heard about.
Oh.
You remember how that was the thing?
Yes.
Because he's a vampire.
We talked about that earlier today. Somebody on the fan text sent in and said, Sean's already trying to figure out how to like marinate it in meat church seasoning.
Yes. I can totally see that.
Can I put the voodoo on this?
Maybe this will beat the orange magic.
Yeah. Keep that Blanco away. No, that's,
Trying to do this, Gavin Dawson. And then he challenges him to have his own other kids so they can get into this weird placenta.
You ate it.
No.
Because Mike and I were discussing that a lot while you were out. So how was it?
I would never eat the placenta.
I don't understand.
Because I just think it's gross.
Lots of vitamins.
Look, you don't understand. I think ranch dressing is gross. What part of you thinks like, here, would you like to eat some of the placenta?
Yeah, I don't like my food touching it. That touches everything.
That's so disgusting, man.
I definitely did not. Definitely did not.
So I do have a question, though. With Mike out this week, we have been considering bringing in some guest hosts with us this week, just for fun. Maybe an hour, maybe a full show. Who would y'all like to hear on our show?
Danny Green.
All right, Danny Green will be on with us today.
120.
Wow. So, yeah.
I mean, I always love hearing Derek Holland.
Derek Holland. Like, okay.
Him.
All right.
And I need to double check with him. He gave me the most confusing answer ever when I asked him about that last week. He goes, oh, yeah, dude, that would be awesome. He goes, I need to look at my schedule. I'm not really sure, but this sounds great. We should do it. I'll check. And I was just like, wait, what? So where did we end up? You'll get back to me? I haven't heard from him since then.
I think that's
yes. I think I need to follow up.
Yeah. And so I think that that's a yes. Yeah. Bring in Will Chambers. Have y'all ever talked Kentucky basketball for a whole hour?
Yes.
You should try it.
Off air.
Yeah.
It's great. About Colby?
Yeah, would you like to hear Colby hang out with us?
There we go. That'd be great.
Okay. I'm trying to think of any other.
I have plenty of
old teammates
for jokes
that don't hate us, you know, or something like that.
Don't hate us.
Like our old producers, like Waddle.
Oh, yeah, Waddle would come on.
Sean Hudgens.
He would only come on because Sharif's not here right now.
Yeah. I don't think he's a fan.
I
don't think he's a fan.
Do not get along.
We'll see. We'll see how it goes, though. Just I would if there's a chance, Colby, if you're listening out there and you want to come hang out.
What about, like, I know you guys have had a lot of interaction with just, like, various people on Twitter or whatever, like, who have podcasts. Would you ever have them on?
Wow.
I could be like, hey, you were remarkably wrong about all these things. Would you like to apologize? No? Okay.
So, yeah, we'll see.
Outside of Danny Green, what else on the show?
Man, that's it. That's pretty much
it. Oh, my gosh, that's it?
4 hours of Danny Green.
2 hours of Danny Green.
We get into it. We're just 2 hours away from Danny Green coming
right out of the green.
We got
right
the Danny Green countdown clock going behind us.
We dive right into Stars right out of the gate, then Mavs at 10:20, and then the original baseball segment, Baseball Buckets, at 10:40.
So Bobby had a question today. I thought it was very interesting. Wish he would have saved it for tomorrow, but whatever.
Damn it.
You have to pick one. What's more likely, that both the Mavs and Stars advance or neither advance? What's more likely to happen?
Both advance. This is easy.
I said both.
Yeah.
I think easy. I think neither, not neither. I think neither.
Yeah. Wow.
It's more
did
like
I say neither?
I do think that there's...
Is it? Neither. Did I say neither?
You said neither. I say neither.
See, but at least I can live with that when they say neither or neither. I have never met anyone in my life who's called it a tomato or a potato. So where did that song?
That's just British.
It's probably English. Yeah. British.
It's like you say Roy, I say Wa. You know?
I say R-dub 3.
It was not Wa Campanella.
You say
that was not.
You say Yuri Lutton and I say Jerry Lutton.
That's wrong. That's just wrong.
That's not what I just said.
That's true. Appreciate that, Stephen. Thank you.
Listen back to the tape, Stephen. I think it was.
But I do think that, like, I think I'm going to pick both of them to win. But if you told me, like, one is more likely than the other, I still think ultimately that
unfortunately,
would be.
I would probably agree with you, obviously.
At least one of them is getting to the conference finals, I feel like. I feel like the Mavs maybe have a better shot.
Stars looked like the best team. Like the last night, that's when I finally saw they are the best team.
But Colorado, as a matchup,
Colorado's a tough matchup.
As a matchup in the next round, I do think that the Mavs have a more advantageous matchup.
The Mavericks,
I would agree with that.
You agree on the Thunder? Like, even though they had the best?
I'm not a fan. Like, I think that the Thunder, they're a good team, obviously.
They tried hard.
You just don't see teams come out of nowhere and win and advance to the conference finals the first time out.
Yeah, and I went back just looking at their season schedule. If you're going to try to make, season schedule shows that the Thunder were better, looking at it, the first game they played, the Mavs were a mess anyway. The second game they played was the first time after the trade, right? That was the first time after the trade. Mavs blow their doors off. The next time they play, Luka's out, so it's a Luka-less team. And the last time they play, the whole Mavericks roster was out.
Well, and it was even the Luka-less game, like, it was competitive most of the game, like, without Luka playing. And so.
So I feel pretty comfortable with it. There's going to be some, it's going to be fun to watch them match up and try and figure things out with each other. But I feel like both teams, I feel very confident in their progression to the next round.
And Colorado is a weird team on the other side because they score the most goals, but also give up the most goals.
Yeah.
So do you. Do you run with them and try and play their game, or do you try and keep it a low-scoring game?
I mean, Otter he doesn't give up goals, man. Like, I think you can run with them. If you try to, I don't know that he's going to give up four.
My concern is, watching this offense, are they going to run with them?
No, they're not going to. I don't think they are because, I mean, the Stars got, you know. I have a buddy who's, like, a really big Vegas fan.
Well.
And he's like, the Stars' defense just mimics Vegas from last year.
Yeah.
And Vegas' defense this year was really good in this series. So, Kevin, I know that the goals were kind of hard to come by in this series, but I think that matchup is what it is. You just said it.
if Colorado has a tendency to just leave it wide open like they that, do. The Doors should take it, or they the Stars do. Should take advantage of that.
What is the rest versus rust factor with Colorado versus Dallas, though?
It's really weird, right? Because it feels like both are completely valid as long as they fit, not you, but
right,
like people
in
general.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Because when the Mavericks were starting slow, it's like, oh, because they had all that time
What's that
off.
Layoff,
and you're like,
man.
Hold on, didn't the Clippers have that time off too? And so, like, whatever happens in game one will feed into, well, the Stars won because they were hot and they had to keep rolling, or, oh, the Avalanche only won because they had time to rest.
I don't know why. Naturally, this is where my head goes. I feel like in basketball, I would want to keep going, and in hockey, I would want rest.
What about football?
See, hockey, though, I don't want my goalie to get rest in hockey.
And they're going to be off 6 days by the time we get going.
Yeah, like I think you'd be able to get like maybe an easy goal like first period.
I don't mind
just a rusty goal.
I don't mind my goalie having some time off as long as he's continuing to work on his eyes. Because like I think that's the hardest part is once
train
you get,
your eyes.
If you had your rest as a goalie, and maybe Marty's a great person we can reach out to.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Frank, we could have Frank Provenzano, see if he's
you
up.
You guys have
up
Frank.
To,
I'll take Marty.
I love Frank. But that part of being able to just track the puck, pick it up, and then just getting back into that mode where you're just seeing everything. That's the thing I'm most concerned. Yeah. Not the body so much, but just making sure that you're locked in with your head.
I don't know how you're going to make it this week, Choppy.
Why? What happened?
Well, he's got 2 weeks of this, right?
I have 2 weeks of it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I don't know how you're going to make it for 2 weeks. Do not show that on the fan cam.
Why are we? It's quiet right now.
Yeah. Hey, what else is coming up on the show? Or lead us out of this, Corey.
All right,
my
guys.
Gosh.
I told
oh
you.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, no. All right.
You're in trouble.
Wow, I'm in deep trouble.
You're in trouble.
Oh, boy.
I don't even want to know now.
It's the K&C masterpiece. God. Next to the fan. Good luck, boys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.